Great song. I would praise him. That's a wonderful, beautiful song. Sets the stage for our worship service today. And focusing on the message today, I entitled it In Remembrance of Me, since we have started our resurrection services and we're having communion today. I wanted us to focus on the importance of this season. And I don't know any other better message than to share one on the Lord's Supper, the preparation of the Passover, as in the Old Testament, and it's a carryover into the New Testament as we celebrate and carry out one of the ordinances that Christ commanded us to do. The other one would be baptism. So we proudly want to remember Christ in our lives, and especially in his death on Calvary. The first verse, well, in chapter 22 is where I am, Luke 22. I want to read the first verse, and I'll move down to verse 14. It's not on the screen, but I'll just read it. Now, the feast of the unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. In verse 14, when the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table with the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And sometimes this few verses here has kind of brought attention to a lot of people about Christ taking communion and it's going to be done in the kingdom of God. This is a fulfillment of the completion of Christ coming to the earth, dying on the cross, being buried, but in the resurrection, this will be one day completed, and that's why Jesus is saying it will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God in the fullness when I return one of these days. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in this verse. And then as we look at verse 17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken the bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one who betraying me is with mine own at the table. For indeed the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who is going to do this thing. That was an alarming statement that Jesus made. His disciples sitting around and they're enjoying that fellowship, and Jesus brings out this statement to them. Only one person knew the gravity of what Jesus was talking about at this time. The others, it was just a figment of imagination. Whoa, surely it's not us. And they begin to ask Jesus. So that's what's so important about this passage of scriptures, any of these that are in the Gospels, and even in the Old Testament. I'll share some scriptures later from Exodus and Jeremiah pertaining to the scriptures connecting Jesus with the Lord's Supper. But this passage captures, I want you to think about it, and oftentimes we overlook this within our minds. Now, I want us to think about the painful moment of the Last Supper. It was painful for Jesus, of course. And the disciples still trying to think through their minds and comprehend what Jesus was talking about. So that's why it was a painful moment for them. A significant, what I would call, ministry in Jesus' life. And it holds immense importance as it marks the institution or command of Jesus, do this in remembrance of me, as we know is called the Lord's Supper, also as known as communion. Communion means togetherness. Communion means to fellowship. And Jesus had a great fellowship with his disciples. All but one was truly with Jesus in his ministry. He had other things, ulteriors on his plate that did not discern Christ. So this is a central, what I call, sacrament within Christian worship, taking of the Lord's Supper. And as we dive into the key phrases of this passage, we uncover deep meanings that resonate through the ages, from the very beginning when Jesus brought in or instituted or commanded that we keep the Lord's Supper. It's the hour had come. The hour had come, as I read a few minutes ago, signifying the divine timing and fulfillment of God's plan for the lives of the world, mankind, reminding us of the sovereignty of God's timing. Actually, in Ephesians, Paul says, at the right time, Jesus gave his life for our sins. So the image of Jesus reclining at the table with his disciples conveys the essence of the fellowship and sacred, now I want to say divine, relationship he shared with his disciples. And he shares with us as well. So let's look, first of all, at the Lord's table of the meanings and the teachings found here in verses 14 through 20. The words, this is my body which is given for you. So this symbolizes the ultimate sacrifice, the offering of his life for the salvation of humanity, mankind, you and me. You think about that. That is great, great love. And then likewise, Jesus said, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. He was making a new covenant with us. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices and so forth that they made for sin was only temporary. They didn't last. It was like a daily sacrament of offering of sin sacrifices. But the Bible says that once and for all, Jesus died for the sins of the world. And that is so important for us to grasp this morning. And these phrases heightens the essence of Christ's sacrifice and deep implication it holds for you and me, for all believers. And then the other scriptures I was talking about is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26, that I read sometime when we're taking communion, or it's good to read any time as a reminder that whatever we do it in remembrance of Christ. And then Exodus chapter 12, 1 through 14, is another connection that the scriptures make according to the shedding of Jesus' blood. And then Jeremiah is a good book. Chapter 31 through 34, reinforces the fulfillment of God's plan through the Last Supper, as I read a few minutes ago. Now, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is called the Passover. Now, the reverence of the Lord's Supper extends to believers today in various ways. And one of these ways, it serves as a spiritual nourishment. And we need that in our lives. We need that nourishment, reminding us of Jesus' sacrifice he made for us. Not only that, but our redemption related to the physical sustaining of our bodies. So there's a lot here in this scripture that we can just pull out that helps us and reminds us of our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so important that we know this and understand it as we are believers in Jesus Christ. See, also the act of sharing communion involves a sense of community. Communion is community, or that fellowship among believers, emphasizing the importance of the unity in the body of Christ. See, it draws us together. And see, Jesus was wanting to draw his disciples together in that last moment. That's why he says, I earnestly desire to take this cup with you. I mean, it was so heartfelt. I can just imagine that the disciples, they were so touched by Jesus' words when he said, I earnestly was waiting for this moment just for you. And he was drawing them in. And all of them was with Jesus except for Judas. And, you know, your heart goes out for a man that was with Jesus those 3 years. And he wasn't broken enough to say, Lord, sorry. Peter was, but he wasn't. So it serves, and it also, through the partaking of the communion, believers not only remember Jesus' sacrifice, but they proclaim their faith. We proclaim our faith, reaffirming our commitment according to the teaching of God's word. So that's very important. Just as a family meal strengthens, you know, we meet, we sit down together, we eat a meal. See, that's building our relationship, that closeness, that communion as we sit down. And you know what? Years or years ago, that's what we did, right? How many of us do that every day now? And we could say, like Jesus, we earnestly desire these moments together as a family, to building our relationship, our oneness together. All right, let's look at the Lord's betrayal. This is a painful moment in Jesus' life, as I pointed out before. Jesus had to reveal the betrayer was one of Jesus' own disciples who was eating the Passover meal right there with Jesus. And then verse 22, it shows that Jesus knows his earthly ministry is quickly drawing to a close. And that's why Jesus heartfelt said, I desire this. This is our last moment together here on earth. And Jesus was thinking eternally ahead that they, when the kingdom come, they would be taking and fellowshipping again. But that moment was very crucial for the disciples and for all of us as we take communion to remember the heartfelt desire that's in Jesus' heart. So, for the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. So when we're looking at Luke chapter 22, verses 21 and 23, this reveals a profound moment in the Last Supper, a very crucial moment in the Last Supper, where Jesus reveals that one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, will betray him. And you know what? As I've thought about this, and as the scripture relays and interprets this for us, this was not accidental. It wasn't accidental at all. But a fulfillment of God's plan. As Jesus emphasizes his suffering in part of his divine purpose. Now, this passage highlights the tension between God's sovereignty and human freedom as the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, hand is present at the hand where Jesus has given his body and his blood. He spelled that out clear and plainly. My body is given, my blood is given and shed for you. So this moment, think about this. This is very crucial in our lives as well. Serves as a wake-up call to the reality of human betrayal and importance of loyalty and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. We trust him with our life. We trust him because he died for us. We trust him because we know he loves us. And he never, ever will leave us. So Judas, accountability, and God's sovereign plan for Jesus' death are seen together right here. So Jesus had to die. He had to die for our sins. His death was a basis of salvation offered to all mankind, everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And also the only means of lifting up the curse of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. How important. So the betrayer was accountable for his actions. We are accountable for the actions of sins that came into this world. We are accountable, just like Judas was accountable. And Peter, but when we recognize that, and Judas should recognize that, he was sorry that he took the money, the 30 pieces of silver. He was sorry about that, and he tried to give it back, but no, we don't want it. That's yours. But he wasn't sorrowful enough within the heart to say, Jesus, I wronged you. I betrayed you. And he could have received salvation just as well. And so this is a reminder of us, sincerity, of what sin does. So in reflecting on the Last Supper, we are invited to envision a spiritual family gathering. And that's what we do as a family, church family, where stories of faith are shared. We share our faith with one another. The bonds are deepened that relationship is quickened. And this sacred tradition is not merely just a historical event, but a life-living practice that continues to share and define our Christian faith. It's so important. And it calls us to remember Jesus' sacrifice, to embrace unity with the spiritual family, to boldly and boldly proclaim the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, may we be reminded of the profound love and sacrifice of Christ. And not only that, but may it inspire us to live out our faith with conviction and unity in the body of Christ. Quite profound, isn't it? Wonderful. So, to cultivate humility and servanthood, we can look at the example of Jesus in these verses. These verses are just jam-packed with compassion. Jesus had so much compassion for his disciples. He has so much compassion for us. That's why he went to the cross and died. And when Jesus saw someone in need, he showed compassion and he met that need. He looked at the world. The Heavenly Father looked at the world and he sent his only begotten Son to take care of that need because we couldn't do it. We were dying in our sins. So true humility involves recognizing that we are not superior to anyone. That our role as believers should be to serve and empower those around us and to point them to Christ. The same Christ that made and gave us redemptive salvation. Now, continuous self-reflection is a key to our Christian life. And a willingness to learn from cultivating humility and servanthood, just like Christ was teaching his disciples right here. See, we strive to imitate the characteristics of Jesus as servants following him. And we have to do this by humbly serving others with love, compassion, and also genuine desire to make positive impact on the lives of those around us that we meet each and every day of our life. And that's what Jesus taught his disciples to do. And that's why Jesus, when he ascended back to the Heavenly Father, he said, you have a greater work to accomplish now. I'll send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to teach you all the things that I have taught you. And you have learned from me. And the Holy Spirit will teach you these things. And in conclusion, as we close, as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, let us reflect on Jesus' sacrifice during this time together with the Lord's Supper and embody his love and his humility every day. Jesus was humble in his life. He cared for us. And we do this by serving with compassion, grace, sharing Christ's message of hope and redemption. And let us live out his teachings in the work with our own families and being a light of this world. And we have a choice, right? So let us choose to walk in his footsteps. And not only do we walk in his footsteps, we need to spread his love to those that don't have a personal relationship with him. See, that is very, very important. You know, there is so much here this morning that I could share with you pertaining to the Lord's Supper and the significance and the impact that it makes and has on our lives. And the only way we will ever know all of this is to get into the Word and read it and let the Holy Spirit teach us. Teach us with a willing and teachable heart. That's the key right there, isn't it? Let us pray. Our Father, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the scriptures that we read. You don't leave anything out. This should be fresh to us each day as we read your word, as we listen to your Holy Spirit, as we think about the impact that you made upon this world, that you continue to make upon this world, and you will always continue to make an impact upon this world until we see your kingdom come again. So we have an important responsibility, an important ministry to fulfill, just like you completed and fulfilled what the Father sent you to this earth to accomplish, and you accomplished that with obedience and humility and compassion and love. Lord, may that penetrate into our minds and our hearts, and may we be willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. It's important not to be taken lightly. So whatever the decisions are this morning as we come to the close of the service before we take communion, during our time of your invitation to us, may we make a decision, Lord, based upon the leading of your Holy Spirit. May we be humble in spirit, contrite in spirit, to follow and walk in your footpath, in your steps. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.